Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts. You know, I got a lot of thoughts, but I was just thinking, and just pass along and maybe plant a seed here and there, my thoughts about reconciliation. You know, it's a sad thing to turn on the news and see all the things that are going on in our country, riots in these cities, and just that's not the America that I grew up in, and I'm not that old, but we were always about supporting one another. We were always about the rule of law, and some of the challenges that we have, now it's not all the politicians' fault, and it's not all the church's fault, and it's not, it's something that happens in this world that Jesus came to overcome, and it's called sin. Called by any other name, it's sin. But think back about how our country is. I think this country has been blessed by God because we honored God all through the founding of our country. And there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant where a whole lot of people still honor God. And I think that's one of the reasons God's still protecting us, because he has left a remnant. And but there is hope. You know, Scripture talked about that, Reagan talked about it too. I mentioned that one time, one of my other thoughts, that about the shining city on the hill. And Jesus talked about that too. And how we can have that. We can understand the light that comes from that shining city on the hill is the light of Christ. But I've been thinking about reconciliation. Reconciling relationships. Now, think about the testament of our own country back in the 1860s, 50s, late 50s, 60s, and we had brother and sister and cousin and uncle and nephews and brothers and sisters that we had a disagreement over something. Now, history, you can look it up, and you'll get a couple different things from history. Well, this is what caused it. Well, anyhow, we come into a time of civil war. And there was a lot of lives lost. You know what's really fascinating and beautiful? Stan Willis lives next door. He's got a ministry of making sure, not only him, but a couple other people, making sure that all the graves from the Civil War is marked. If you walk around our memorial grounds there, you'll see Confederate flags on some of the headstones and American flags on some of the others. You know, they fought for what they believed in, and it didn't turn out so good. But one of the most beautiful things, when Abraham Lincoln said in one of his addresses too, a nation divided cannot stand, and we were on the verge of not standing. But God allowed us to come together and reconcile the North and the South that come together. Now we are one great, beautiful, loving, caring nation. We still have our own thoughts and concerns about this and that, but we reconciled as a nation. That's a testament of God's grace in our country, that we reconcile through something like that. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you. Now, there is some debate among scholars about the actual destination of this letter of the Ephesians. It was certainly in Ephesus. There's a lot of ancient manuscripts causing some to view that maybe it was an encyclical letter, a letter that was to be circulated among various churches gathering in Asia Minor. And adding to this series that the Apostle Paul addressed no individuals in the book of Ephesians. It seemed unusual, especially when compared to Romans 16, where he had mentioned no less than 26 people by name while referring to many others in that congregation, that particular congregation. So scholars, however, hold to the church at Ephesus as being the proper first destination with the letter to be circulated to other churches. That circular nature of the letter perhaps explains its lack of a personal address to a particular person or anything like that. There's a clash that always happens between families, and I don't care if you got the best family in the world, sometimes you get a clash. There's a story, and it says this: my sister and I clashed frequently when we were younger, but one time especially stands out in my memory. After a bout of yelling back and forth, where we were both said very hurtful and hateful things, she said something in that moment that seemed unforgivable. Witnessing the animosity growing between us, my grandmother, I love grandmothers, reminded us of our responsibility to love each other. She said, "You know, God gave you one sister in your life, and you got to show each other a little grace. And when we asked God to fill us with love and understanding, he helped us to acknowledge how we hurt each other and come to forgive one another." Now, I still have some family members in my own life that I'm hoping that someday we can bury the hatchet, so to speak, you know, and to have that reconciliation. Not to just overlook maybe some of the hurtful things, but, you know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It tells us that in the Old Testament. Give it to God and come together and to love one another. I like what John Riley always says, one of my favorite all-time evangelists. He's been at Bethel here last year, I think, or the year before, that God commanded us to love one another. He says, as hard as that is, we're commanded. We got to do it. But we don't have to go fishing with them. We don't have to go to lunch with them, but we got to love each other and respect one another. So it's easy to hold on to bitterness and anger, but God desires us to experience that peace that passes all understanding can only come when we ask him to help us to release these feelings of resentments. Instead of harboring these feelings, we can look to Christ, our example of forgiveness. Oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember, he cried that out on the cross as he was dying. Forgiveness that comes from a place of love and grace. Striving to be kind and compassionate and to forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven us. So when we find it challenging to forgive, I challenge all of us to consider the grace that he extends to us each day. And no matter how many times we fall short, the Bible says we fall short of his glory, and we all do. Just think that his compassion never fails. God can help us and remove bitterness from our hearts if we will let them. And then we'd be free to remain hopeful and receptive to his love. You know, I always think about that God said in the Psalms that your sins are forgiven, to be remembered no more, put in the deepest of the sea. And sometimes that's good to know that once you're forgiven, it's gone, it's behind you. But it is also available to us to call up and use it for his glory too. Maybe help mend fences or witness to somebody. And then that story about something in your life, how you experience grace and reconciliation, goes back into the deepest of the sea, never to remember again. I think all of us has had somebody hurt us in our life. And I think back about, what did I learn from that moment when somebody was hurtful to me? You know, we can all learn. It's like a fruit tree that produces fruit. You know, if you want it to produce good quality fruit, it's got to be pruned. Well, that's what happens in our life. not to hold on to bitterness or anything like that. Just give it to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this, but I want to give it to you. And thank you for taking care of it for me. And it's an amazing thing how when you do just something like that, that gnawing, spiteful thing that's rolling up inside of you, it's gone because you gave it to God. Now, what happens sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I'll give something to God and I think, God, you're not working fast enough and hard enough on this. I think I need it back for a little bit. I think I can fix it. If I can't get it fixed, I'll get... No, once you give it to Him, let it in His hands. Well, Father, we thank and praise You for this online service. We thank You for all the blessings that we have. We thank You for this little church called Bethel United Methodist Church here in this little town of Tallahassee, Florida. And we thank You, Lord, that You put people in our lives. You put people in this little church and have gone on before us that left legacies, and the people that are still here encouraging one another. We're not perfect little church, but we do experience and proclaim the gift of grace that Jesus gave to us. And thank You, Father, for putting all these people in my life. Some we like, some we don't, but we're commanded to love them. Help us to have a loving and a forgiving spirit for all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do have a lot of people that's on our prayer list, and you can look at that prayer list online, and you click on the slides there where it says Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers, and they'll come right up there, and you can look on them. Or if you want to add somebody, send me an email, a text, or a phone call, or Phil, and we'd be happy to put them on there and also have a prayer of agreement and prayer of intercession with you and for you. But you know, one of the most beautiful things in the whole wide world is that we don't need a preacher to pray for us. We don't need anybody. We don't need an 800 number. We don't need this or that, because we have direct access to the throne of grace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why whenever we pray a prayer of healing or anything like that, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. He is the key of David, so to speak, the gift that gets us into heaven. So He did teach the disciples, because they, when they ministered with Him for those 3 years that they were with Him, and they experienced everything, His love and all that, but they had challenges, and but they noticed some things that He would do. He would go up by Himself. And one day they said, well, why do you go up by yourself? Well, I'm like you guys. You know, I'm in this human body, even though I'm God. But I need to talk to Daddy. And they said, wow, can we talk to the Father? Yeah, you bet. And He gave us a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with as we pray the prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, have a wonderful day, and thank you for just letting me ramble here a little bit. And I hope and pray that maybe you got something out of it. But more importantly, put Christ first in your life, and then all these things will come together as we sing that little song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Have a wonderful day.